The Torah gives us a list of the non-kosher birds and tells us how to determine which animals are kosher. Among the list of the non-acceptable birds, the Chumash mentions Bas Hayana, which sounds like it means the daughter of the ostrich. So the Talmud raises the question, why are only the female ostriches forbidden? The male should also be forbidden. If this is an oif tame, if it's a non-kosher bird, we don't distinguish between a male and a female. So the rabbis in the Talmud understand that phrase to be referring to the eggs that are laid by the ostrich. If a non-kosher bird, an eagle, a raven, any non-kosher bird lays an egg, so one is not permitted to eat that egg. There is a dispute between Tosfos and the Rambam, which is not really that significant. It's a little bit irrelevant in Yeridei, but it's not that significant, whether one would get Malkus for eating these eggs. The Rambam's opinion is that this is only an Isar Asei, and there's no Malkus. If one would eat the bird itself, the flesh of the bird itself, an eagle, this would be reason to give Malkus, but one eats the eggs that are laid by the ostrich or the eagle, one would not get Malkus. Tosfos' opinion is that the pasuk means to imply that it has the same status as the non-kosher bird itself. So now the rabbis of the Talmud understood from this pasuk that it's not limited only to eggs that come from a non-kosher bird. If you have milk that comes from a non-kosher animal, that too will be awesome in our Torah, that will constitute a biblical prohibition. The Talmud even states in the beginning of Maseches Beitzo, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, that it's biblically prohibited to drink milk that comes from a cow, a kosher animal, if I know that that cow is a trefa. If I know while a cow, usually we find out after the animal is already slaughtered, we check the lungs and we check the inside organs and we find the trefas. Once in a while we can determine that an animal is a trefa while it's alive also. So if one has a kosher animal, a cow, that he knows is a trefa, that milk is also forbidden, and the Talmud seems to say explicitly that this would constitute an Isur Daraisa. On the side of the Gemara there in Beitzah, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes a source from the Shita Mekubetzes and Baba Kama that this is only forbidden midrabbanan. But the simple reading is that all of this is an Isur Min HaTorah. This is what the Mishnah in the beginning of Pchoris refers to as Hayotze Min HaTomei Tomei. Anything that's developed inside the body of a non-kosher animal, the eggs that are laid by a non-kosher bird, or the milk that comes out from a non-kosher animal, may not be eaten. Now, the Talmud has a pasuk that one is permitted to eat bee's honey. It's not the pasuk that we usually think that... the Talmud raises a question, one should not be allowed to drink milk, because any animal that wasn't yet slaughtered is also not kosher. The animal is not kosher until you shecht it. Be'im v'b'chayeho b'cheska sisar emetis, Rav Huna says. All live animals, even kosher animals, until you give them a proper shechita, arosa b'achilo. It's not that it's forbidden because of eiv menachai. Eiv menachai only applies once you rip off the limb from the animal. A live animal which has all the organs attached together, there's a dispute in the Talmud, and the accepted opinion is we don't call that a whole bunch of eiv menachais. Be'im v'b'chayeho, while an animal is alive and all the organs are intact, we don't treat it like an Eiv Menachai. But the Talmud understands that there's a different Isa. It's not an Isa Nevela either. Nevela is only when the animal is dead and it didn't have the benefit of Shechita. This is an Isa Raveina Zvucha. It's an Isa Rasei that the animal wasn't yet slaughtered. So the Talmud raises the question, how can you drink any milk? So the Talmud says, well, that's a Pasuk in Chumash. The Torah describes the praises of Eretz Yisrael, that Eretz Yisrael, the Holy Land, is the land that's flowing with milk and honey. Eretz Avas Cholo V'Dvash. Now, if the milk would be non-kosher, it wouldn't make sense that the Torah should praise Eretz Yisrael over the fact that it has non-kosher milk. So that's a proof that milk is kosher. How one understands that heter, okay. So it's an exception to the rule. So the Rambam seems to have understood that it's not really an exception to the exception to the rule is that the only time we apply the principle of a Yotzim and Ha'asar Asar, If a trefa animal, if a non-kosher animal develops eggs or milk or whatever other product, you're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to drink or eat that product. So the Rambam understands this is restricted only to a case where the non-kosher status of the animal was that it's an isa lav, that if you eat the animal, you get malchus. A beima b'chayeho, a live animal doesn't have an isa lav, it's only an isa rasei, a veina zvucha. So the Rambam seems to understand that's the reason why the milk is an exception to the rule. Other Rishonim disagree with this Rambam, and they feel that the exception to the rule is that milk is kosher, not because we distinguish between an Isar Aseh and an Isar Lav, but rather because Milken is an exception to the rule. So that pasuk, when Eretz Yisrael is described as Zavas Cholo Advash, that it flows with milk and honey, the honey there is referring to honey from Dvash Tamarim, from dates. It's not referring to honey from bees. But the Talmud in Pchoris, the Gemara in Maseches Pchoris in the first parak has a different pasuk, Diuk from the pasuk. The rabbis inferred from the way the pasuk is written, by reading in between the lines, that honey from a bee may be eaten. Now the rabbis, that this is also an exception to the rule, that we don't apply the principle of Ayetzim and Atame Tame with respect to honey. The Tanoim had a dispute as exactly to how one should understand this exception to the rule. Why is the honey kosher? So half of the Tanoim said that it's an exception to the rule, despite the fact that it is Ayetzim and Atame, it's an exception to the rule that you're allowed to eat it, and the exception could well be, that's what one Tana says, that it only applies if it's bee's honey. There are other insects that give off honey that's also tasty, and one would not be permitted to eat any other honey other than dvash stam, other than plain honey that comes from bees. And also, if one takes this position, that it's an exception to the rule, it really should have been Yetz Ben Atame, but it's mutter because it's a special pasuk, so then it should only be mutter if it's honey. There are other products that the bee gives off, let's say royal jelly, that some people eat for health purposes. It could well be that the royal jelly will be also, because that's not called dvash stam. Just like the honey that comes from other insects is not called dvash stam, has another shem lavai. So too, the royal jelly is also not the dvash stam. It could be that would be prohibited. The other Tana in the Gemara is of the opinion that the reason why the honey is mutter is not that it's an exception to the rule, despite the fact that it should be Yotzim ben Atame, Yotzim ben Ha'aser, it's mutter. No, the reason is that the only time we prohibit the milk or the eggs that are developed by a non-kosher animal is if the non-kosher animal produces them, produces the milk. It's a secretion or something, or produces the eggs. Manufactured egg has to be godel bees. But the honey is not really developed by the bees. It's not a secretion. The bee collects the pollens, which are pollen from the different trees. And then it just does work on it. It mixes it together with different ingredients. And then it comes out as honey. So it's not really developed. The honey is not really developed in the bee. According to that opinion, so it would come out that it's not only this heter. It's much broader. It would not only apply to the honey, it would apply as well to the royal jelly. It's also not a secretion from the animal. And then it should apply even to the honey from other insects as well, because the other insects also collect pollen, and they just produce it. So how exactly do we pass, and what is the accepted opinion in this dispute? And so in the Shulchan Aruch, both opinions are quoted. It means that it's not clear. And we leave it as a sfeika d'dina, how we should paskin. Now, if the bees also produce wax, and now the wax is also not known as dvash, so one should raise the question, is one permitted to eat the wax or not? One could argue the point that according to the opinion of the first Tana, that it's a special heter that only applies if it's labeled as dvash stam, so the wax is known as shaiva, that's wax, it's not known as dvash. So the Paskim feel that this is not correct because the accepted position is that wax is not roi lachila. It's not an edible product, so you can't declare that it should be treif. It's like meraglaim of an animal, which is urine that comes out from an animal, is also developed by the animal, but it's not if the urine is not roi lachila sodom, so then we declare it as pirsha. It's not an oichel. So the same is certainly true regarding wax. That comes from the bees, it's not edible. It's also not digestible. So that Rav Moshe Feinstein raises the possibility that any food that one eats and goes through the whole body and it comes out, and none of it is digested by the system, nothing is taken into the blood system and so on, so that's not considered oichel, so you can't declare that should be awesome. The Mishnah in Avodah Zarah gives us a list of foods that one is permitted to buy from a non-Jew, that there's no question of kashrus. and a list of foods that you're not permitted to buy from a non-Jew because there is an issue of kashrus. So the Mishnah lists off among the non-questionable foods, one is permitted to buy honey from the non-Jew. So the Talmud raises the question, well, maybe the non-Jew mixed in chazashmaltz. Maybe it has a non-kosher ingredient in it. How do you know that the honey is always kosher? So the Talmud gives an answer that misra saria, it would spoil. What exactly does that mean? So this, there are two interpretations in the commentaries on the Gemara. So some interpret that if one would mix in chazashmaltz into the honey, he would spoil the whole honey, and the customers would realize that it doesn't taste like normal honey, and they're going to stop buying. He'll lose his whole business. So we know with our eyes closed that no one's going to fool us, no one's going to mix in any non-kosher ingredients into the honey, that it's pure. That's the generally accepted pshat in the Gemara. The Rabbeinu Yonah quotes another interpretation from the Gaonim that even if one were to mix in a non-kosher ingredient into the honey has the power to convert anything that's mixed into it into honey. So at the end of the day, since when I buy the honey from the shop, everything tastes, all of it tastes like honey. None of it tastes like non-kosher chazashmaltz. So then we certainly have the right to assume that everything is kosher. Whatever non-kosher ingredient was mixed in already was nishtana. It converted, it's changed its form, and it no longer is in the form of schmaltz. Now it's in the form of honey. So everything is kosher. This second interpretation is adopted by the Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Rosh in Brochus quotes this Rabbeinu Yonah, and he questions the correctness of that position. Halacha lemaisa, the Mishnah Brura, and Simon Resh Tezayin, in Arachayim, of all places, this discussion doesn't appear in Yerideya. Mishneh Berurah quotes the Hachro, the compromise made by the Prima Godim, Halacha Lamaisa, that with respect to a biblical prohibition, if they would really mix in chazashmaltz, which is an Issa Deraisa, biblically forbidden to be eaten, and that would convert into honey, that would be nishtana, it would change its whole nature, we would not permit one to eat it. But if it would only be an Issa Derabbanan, something that's only forbidden rabbinically, would be mixed into the honey, and now it changed into honey, that would be converted, so then we would be makel, then we would permit it. There is an issue that sometimes in France, the bees will swarm around wine and grapes those seasons of the year when this is available outside, and they'll pick up, they'll eat, they'll absorb a lot of wine and grape, wine on top of the grapes after the manufacturer has finished making the wine. And that's Stam Yena. We're not permitted to drink that non-kosher wine. And the bees will produce honey after mixing in this non-kosher ingredient. Or some that type of honey will have a different flavor. It'll taste a little different because it's the flavor of the honey depends on what the bee is mixing together. Or sometimes there are bees who will eat certain sweet secretions of bugs, of aphids, and produce honey. And that honey will also taste to have a slightly different flavor. So this question was discussed by various rabbanim, and many are of the opinion that in this case you're not permitted to eat honey, if you know for sure. If you don't know one way or the other, and you're just dreaming that maybe the bee mixed in a non-kosher ingredient when it was collecting the pollen. If one doesn't know, so then we assume that that the honey is kosher. We don't have to be concerned about this far-fetched possibility that maybe the bees picked up an unkosher item. But if you know for sure that in the Bordeaux section of France, we know that a lot of the, where they produce all the wines, so we know that it's very common that the bees will collect some of the non-kosher wine that's on the grapes that are thrown out in the garbage. And the wine and the honey will have a different flavor. Or if you know that the bees were eating this sweet secretion of the aphids, and they produced that honey that tastes different. So there are prominent rabbanim who say that one is not permitted to eat such honey. But normal honey, under normal conditions, we would assume that that all honey is kosher. That's the Mishnah Maseches Avodah Zarah.